Megan, you know what I love about our partner, the Essential Calendar? I love the product so much, of course, but I also love that it comes from a small business founded by two moms.
Right, just like us. Listeners, if you're drowning in details right now, like summer camps, travel plans, end of school year mayhem, give yourself the gift of the Essential Calendar, a seasonal, at-a-glance, poster-sized calendar for your wall. Get 10% off your order at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour. That's 10% off at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is The Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 36 of The Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
I'm great, Megan. How are you?
I am well. We are talking about traveling spouses, partners, and co-parents today. And as it happens, we are recording this on the tail end of a trip that John just took, not for work, for pleasure. He's visiting his mother in Florida, which...
That does add a different element, doesn't it?
It sure does. But we've both had and it's been, you know, one of those weeks where like Claire got sick and I was, you know, had all this work to do and the vacuum cleaner broke and I fell down on the ice because I couldn't find the salt, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about something we both have a lot of experience with, and that is spouses who travel a lot, usually for work, spouses and co-parents and partners and all those people that help us kind of keep our lives running as moms. So first, I want to kick it over to Sarah for some housekeeping. Sarah, yes. What you got for us?
Well, I just kind of wanted to ask everybody to hop over to our Facebook page if you haven't already. In gearing up for this episode, I put out a call for feedback and questions and tips about traveling spouses on Facebook. And we just had a great conversation, got a lot of great feedback. But in case you don't know, Facebook likes to control what posts you see. And if you like a page, whether or not you've liked our page, you don't always see all the posts. And so, Megan, you and I know this because we're in the online social media world. But in case you don't know that out there, and if you are a Facebook user, one of the best ways to make sure you see our posts is just to interact once or twice with them. So just if you see something we post, like it or leave a comment or share a post that we put up there. Anytime you interact with us in that way, it tells Facebook that you actually really do want to see our stuff. Because it can be frustrating, you know, when you like a page and you genuinely like that brand or that blogger or whatever, and then it like never shows up in your feed.
And so, the more you engage with us, the more you'll see us.
Right.
So if you want to see us all the time, which of course you do.
Yes, you do.
Sarah does the majority, the lion's share of managing the page, and she keeps it very entertaining and fun. And
yeah, and I always feel there's some great feedback and great commenters. And I know that, like, because we can see, you know, 800 people saw this post, which sounds like a lot until you know that we have 9,000 Facebook fans.
Right.
And only 800 people saw that. And that's just how Facebook works. So if you're out there and you like Facebook, so go ahead and like us. It is a little confusing because we are facebook.com/happiesthome. That's left over from the blog that we transitioned. You can also just type the Mom Hour podcast into the search. And of course, we'll link to our Facebook page in the show notes. So if you're not a Facebooker, no big deal. But if you're there and you want to hang out with us, just interact with us a little or leave us a little comment. And that will kind of send the message to the old Facebook gods and goddesses to make that happen. So
good tip. And I also want to point out that I'm loving how much I every day now when I log into Instagram, mm-hmm. I have a huge wave of fresh, you know, followers who I always follow everybody back. I know that's coming from listeners because there's no other way people would be finding me on Instagram. I'm not that active and I don't promote it really. So thanks. It's really fun.
I know it is very fun. And the Mom Hour does have its own Instagram account, which I go back and forth with how much I use, but that we're getting more and more engagement and a great community there too. So that very one's fun. Easy. We're just at the Mom Hour on Instagram. So yes, join us for sure.
Join us, especially when your spouse or partner is traveling. Yes.
When you need to stare mindlessly into your phone because you have
frustrated.
No adult,
exactly.
adult interaction. Yeah. So this is episode 36. And next week we are going to tackle the other side of this topic I just wanted to mention, which is when mom leaves. If you travel for work or if you're going away, it can be really stressful. And Megan, you have done some great writing about that in the past. So that's going to be fun too. So this is kind of going to be like a 1-2 punch. This week, we're going to talk about traveling spouse partners. And then next week when it's mom's turn to leave the kiddos. So let's do it.
All right.
So, I thought maybe we could just kind of first share like where we've come with this, and starting with you, Megan, I have heard you, I've heard you talk about a time when you had four small children and John was basically living in another state. Can you maybe, this makes me like nervous.
Well, I have to back up even more than that, because when John and I got married, he was doing, basically he got work with my brother where they were traveling around the country.
Building, the cable guys. Right?
Yeah, they were the cable guys. So they would like rebuild like cable systems in whatever city needed it. And often you didn't really know how long you'd be in a city. And, you know, 3 weeks in, the project would dry up and they would move. Like the whole crew, the whole operation would just up and move in, you know, a matter of a few days. So now when I just had like one baby, that was fine. You know, when Jacob was little, we kind of did that off and on. And then when I was pregnant with Isaac, it really started to become more of a thing. And for a while, I tailed him and went everywhere he went. And it just wasn't really tenable. I mean, with two little kids, we were just kind of living in rando apartments and hotel rooms sometimes. It became extremely, extremely stressful. So we wound up where I was, you know, kind of the home base person and John was traveling. And sometimes he was traveling for months at a time. I mean, it would be like he'd be gone for 4 weeks and come home for a week, that kind of thing.
That's insane.
It was absolutely insane. But he'd be so far away and we didn't have a lot of money for plane tickets. So it'd be kind of like we'd wait around for, you know, for like a time that he could make the 20-hour drive back from California or whatever it was. Sometimes like in a bucket truck. It was pretty ridiculous. And I credit a lot of my ability to do it then to my youth. I was very young. I also always lived someplace where I had family nearby. My sister, I lived in the same town as her for a while. I lived in the same town as my dad and stepmom for a while. Although, you know, it wasn't like I was relying on people so much for childcare. It was just having that other human being that you call or hang out with.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we got back on the same page for a while where we weren't traveling. But when we lived in Chicago, when he first went to Chicago, he moved, let's see, at that point we were living about 4.5 to 5 hours away. We were in the Lansing area, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And he got a job in Chicago and I wanted the kids to finish the school year. So this was when we had four kids, and Owen was like a toddler. William was three. The boys were 6 and 8, I think. Mm-hmm. And we, so he ended up going ahead of me and lived in Chicago for like 4 months while I let the kids wrap up their school year. And then a year later, we decided actually Chicago wasn't working out so great. So that's when we moved back to Michigan, except John stayed in Chicago again for like the better part of a school year. And at that point, I had four little kids and I was pregnant. So I've I've been in all of these situations. And, you know, the weird thing is it's almost easier in a way when they're gone all the time.
Right.
Which is really bizarre.
I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah. But there's not that, you know, since then we've had times where he's just gone like here and there or like a night or two at a time. And that sometimes can be harder because when they come back, your routine is all off.
Yes.
I get a lot lonelier when he's gone. Now, I didn't used to really get lonely when he was gone because I didn't really expect him to be around, you
like,
know?
Like anything else, there's something to hitting your stride and just like getting in your groove. And I can see how you would, that would become your new normal.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say like with all of this that we're going to talk about, it reminds me very much of like a fitness level. Like I remember before I had a traveling spouse because Brian didn't travel for work until my kids were about 3 and 1. So for the first few years of pregnancy and motherhood, he was home at 5 o'clock every day. I was working part-time, but we were always in the same, you know, home in the evenings. And I remember I had friends with babies and toddlers whose husbands traveled or just worked a ton, like just were never home when the kids were awake.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I could never, ever do that. Like, I just couldn't do it. I'd make him quit his job, you know, just feeling like I couldn't do it. And then, of course, like in a relatively short amount of time, his didn't really like gradually increase. He switched positions within the same company and went from no travel to being gone 3 or 4 work days a week. So like, you know, and sometimes those were broken up like a day trip here and then an overnight and he'd come and go, but being gone a ton. And sure enough, guess what? I learned how to do it. So it is kind of like a fitness level and like what you're describing still sounds so hard for me because I've never quite had it that extreme. But whatever you're used to, the next level up seems so overwhelming until you do it. And then you're like, okay, well, I could do that.
Well, and I have to say it sounds so wimpy now because now we're down to where John still, you know, he still works in Chicago, which is about 2 hours away, couple days a week and has taken to spending the night there often because it just makes so much more sense than him, you know, putting in that driving. Ridiculous yeah. drive. So he'll go early in the morning on a Tuesday and come home late, you know, kind of like after dinner or after the kids are in bed on Wednesday or something like that. Sometimes Wednesday to Thursday. Right. But, you know, it's so funny because now I almost have a harder time with it. And I don't, I mean, part of it is I'm not flopping into bed exhausted at 9 o'clock anymore. Right. It's like right. the kids go to bed and then I sit there. right. I'm lonely. Right. I'm used to him being around. I mean, it's right. just, it's a little bit different, but I think it's so true that you get used to things and then that becomes your normal. And
right.
that's what you judge everything else against.
Right.
And so
right.
I guess maybe today what we're going to do is try to help people get into that normal, right? Especially yeah. if it's like a little more intermittent because yeah, that's when it's hard.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Sarah, we both know this time of year can be crazy. So this is a great time to get ahead with no prep, no mess meals from our sponsor, Factor. I love how these meals are ready to eat and delivered right to your door. I mean, you can't beat that convenience, but most importantly, they're seriously delicious.
Yeah, Megan, I agree. Our whole family was impressed with the quality and flavor of Factor meals we tried. And it turned out to be a great option for my teenagers when they got home late from a theater practice or came home from school super hungry. There's zero prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Factor meals just need to be heated for about 2 minutes and they're ready to go.
Yeah, and for any listeners with wellness goals this month, Factor has 6 menu preferences to support your lifestyle. Whether you're trying to boost your protein, avoiding meat, or simply focusing on well-balanced meals. And you can pause or reschedule deliveries to fit your lifestyle.
Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. Head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code momhour50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Okay, Megan, like many of our listeners, I'm sure I've been doing some spring cleaning in my closet lately, and it always feels so good to get rid of clothes I'm not wearing, things that don't fit or that aren't my style anymore. But you know what I realized? All of my Vionic shoes are always in the keep pile. They just tick all the boxes. They're cute, comfy, high quality, they last forever, and I love growing my Vionic collection, especially with the latest styles from their Vionic Vitals collection.
The Vionic Vitals collection offers daily wear styles designed for elegance, comfort, and versatility. We both love the Uptown Loafer, which collapses flat, so it's perfect for travel. The Chardonnay Heeled Sandal, which I know you love, Sarah. The Walk 23 Classic Sneaker, which our team member Katie gets compliments on all the time. And the Willa Slip-On Flat, one of my favorites, which comes in 12 colors for any outfit.
Yeah, I need to get the Willa Slip-On Flat. That's next on my list. Well, listeners, if you're ready to try the shoes we're always raving about, use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's one-time use only. Vionic shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
So we are at a point now where I've gotten used to a lot of short trips. Luckily, Brian doesn't go away for 5 or 10 or 2 week trips, almost never. He has a couple like 5 to 7 day trips a year, but the rest is all, he actually does a lot of day trips, which are hardest on him because he's up and out the door at 5 a.m. and home late. So for the kids won't see him from say a Monday to a Wednesday because he was gone all of Tuesday. But it's a blip at this point to us. But when you add a lot of those up, it still adds up. It still means, you know, many evenings where I'm on my own doing the routine and all that. So we're kind of like in a groove with that. But yeah, I thought we could talk about just things we've learned to make things easier. And then I'm definitely going to incorporate some of our listener suggestions too that came in on Facebook. So
yeah. And you know, I bet we'll repeat some of what they said. I mean, I'm sure I'll repeat.
Yes. Oh, I mean, I was nodding, reading so many of the things, and really great suggestion. And just a good reminder of how many moms and women out there have traveling spouses. Like, it's just, it's a reality for a lot of us. So the first thing I thought we'd kind of look at is how do you kind of keep your own sanity or take care of yourself when you're the only one? There was a comment on Instagram that I totally agreed with. And she said, I used to just fix the kids' dinners and not cook anything like quote unquote adult meal because I was the only adult. And she said, and then I'd end up like having cereal or finishing the mac and cheese off their plate. And I'd get so hangry and just, you know, undernourished. So, and I was nodding along because what I've started doing is buying myself those pre-made salads Trader Joe's has great ones because they're very individual size. They're not giant. And I buy basic, if he's going to be gone for like a week, I buy like one a day. Sometimes I have it for lunch, sometimes for dinner, but then I at least know that I'm getting vegetables. Cause I could go like 5 days, Megan, and eat bread and cheese. And like,
no, I know.
And I would be even happy, but I wouldn't feel very good.
So one thing that I think is really interesting that a pattern I found myself getting into was never going out, like never bothering to get a sitter, never bothering to set up anything during the week, because I would feel like if John wasn't here, it didn't like count or something. I don't know. This doesn't really make it. It's all psychology, right? Like if John wasn't around, that day kind of just didn't count. And why would I like set up? Why would I make plans? Why would I go out of my way to try to, you know, go out and meet a friend or something? And I think I, especially when my kids were smaller and I actually still needed a babysitter, I really had to go out of my way to realize like, yeah, maybe a Wednesday, if your, you know, husband's going to be gone for 3 or 4 nights in a row, maybe like midway through that, having something set up with a friend or even having them come over after the kids are in bed and watch TV, you know, which if their spouse does not travel is often very possible. So something like that, just something you can look forward to, I think is really important. I'm so glad you mentioned the dinner thing because that's, I mean, that is such a common spouse of traveling, you know, traveling.
Or even late working. I mean, I have a lot of friends.
Late working.
They just don't get home till 8 or 8:30. Yeah. So dinner is mom and kids.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you can, if it's just like once, like a one-off every now and then that they travel, I think then it's time to pull out the mac and cheese and pizza and just keep it easy on yourself. But if this is a regular thing, I feel like I have to keep that semblance of this is life. This is our routine. This is, you know, life is, we're still having a quality life just because dad's not here. And we need to have some semblance of a rhythm. Otherwise, it's like so black and white. That's when it gets really jarring. And then it's hard to get back in the swing of normal life. You know, your spouse comes home and you're like, oh, well, now I got to cook.
And
what? We're all going to sit down together. I kind of just wanted to watch TV. You know, so I've really, really tried hard not to get in the habit of blowing a night off. Night after night after night. Everyone needs a blow off every now and then. But
And I remember doing that when he first started traveling. It would be like, Chick-fil-A drive through, daddy's out of town. And it did not take me very long because we went from this like 0 to 60 in a very short time to be like, wait, I can't do that. Like, it can't be a treat because daddy's out of town, because this is like our new, like 60% of the time normal. So you can't do the drive through. Yeah, I totally agree. Another thing that came in was asking for help, just from neighbors, on our Facebook page. My friend Angie commented that she has a neighbor take her oldest to school when her dad, when the dad's out of town. And I do that too. So Brian normally takes Allegra to school when he's out of town. I have one or two neighbors who pitch in. So just like replacing the, like the help that that co-parent brings to the daily routine. And instead of assuming all of that yourself, seeing if there's an easy way to outsource, which, whether it's like carpools and pickups or, you know, homework help or whatever, because otherwise pretty soon, especially if you have an involved co-parent, you're doing double the work. So seeing if there are ways to outsource, that was another good tip, I thought.
Another thing that I found, and this is again, that kind of that weird psychology, and it's two sides of the same coin, but I've gone both ways and neither way really works out very well, especially if your partner is traveling a lot. And that is either waiting to do anything until they get back, like holding, like never taking care of stuff that you could technically take care of because dad's going to be home in a few days and he'll handle it or whatever, or just kind of letting everything go. And then on the flip side, working really hard when they're gone and then letting everything go when they get home because they'll pick up, you know what I mean? Like,
like totally
there's the two sides of the same coin, and neither one really works because, first of all, you know, now as a spouse who travels sometimes now, I realize it's not as glamorous as it sounds. I mean, when you're, when you're the one, you know, at home and you can't pee because, well, you can't pee without an audience, you know, and there's little kids clinging to you and like everything's super frustrating. It's easy to look at what your husband is doing and get really, you know, have this fantasy that they're off living it up. You know, they get to eat at like a TGI Fridays every night, the hotel, and they get a bed to themselves or whatever it is. And that is a lot easier in a lot of ways than having a lot of little kids. But it's not a picnic. And when they get home, they want to enjoy family life too and relax and get a little bit of a break, you know? So I would find I would either have this huge pile of projects for John to do when he got home, at which, and then he wouldn't get to it, and then I'd be super resentful. Or he'd get home, and I'd have been going crazy working, and then he'd get home, and I would just fall apart. And neither one, it's just not, you can't maintain
No,
that.
I think that's so true. I actually wrote down in my notes, I wrote that I have trouble pacing myself. And I think that's that kind of what, the, speaking yeah. to the same point, I often start out like, especially if a longer trip, I start out like, okay, everybody, like we're going to kick butt at this. Like we're going to do, you know, and everything, the lunches are great. And, you know, like the evening goes smoothly. And then like, it's just kind of a downhill slide. So I have to remind myself often at the beginning of a trip away that like, we're in this for several days. There's going to be times where things are falling apart. I need the energy to be able to like you say, do some things, not do everything, not let it all go, but not kill myself. And it's just sort of like finding that middle ground. And I often start out on like the super productive side and then slide downhill.
Well, and I what I'll try to do is often I'll have a like a project, like some kind of a special project set aside where I'll think, okay, you know, John's not home tonight or not home for the next couple of days or a few days or whatever. And usually in the evening we would hang out together. And so instead of that tonight, I'm going to do this thing I've been meaning to do and haven't gotten around to. And I think that can actually feel really good. Like
I think it can too.
It can feel really good as long as you don't think that's all you're going to do.
Right.
And you're never going to, you know, take a few minutes just to veg in front of the TV, which by the way, you get control of.
Well, and TV. I think we trick ourselves. This goes back to our episode last week about all of the clutter and crap, like toys. Sometimes we trick ourselves into being like, oh, there's no other adult around, so I'm just going to let this place go to you know what.
Yeah.
And it's just, but really, that is a recipe for feeling like you're going cray-cray yourself. Like you're only punishing yourself. And it's not like my husband comes home and expects the toys off the floor. Like he doesn't really care either. But it's something about feeling like, ooh, it's just me. Like we can live like, you know, pigs for a while. But that's not a good, it's not a good plan.
No.
Because it does, it's not fun to wake up in the morning.
It spirals for sure.
Agreed.
And you know, it's funny. The loneliness thing, I think maybe when John was traveling more, I just was used to the loneliness and I found other outlets. I remember I was really into forums and social media for a while during that time and stuff like that. And because that has taken a backseat in my life now, I'm just not as active on any of those kinds of outlets anymore. Now I find myself kind of at loose ends. Like I'm not sure what to do. And I found that I was really drawn to journal, which I hadn't done in a while until John started being gone a lot again, especially at night. And I realized that what I'm doing is talking to myself. Like it's like I don't have anyone to talk to. So I'm just talking to myself via a journal. And that's great. I mean, actually it's really helpful. It's fun. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll go back and read it and be like, I just wrote like 10 pages of nothing. It kind of reminded me of being in high school. You know, I remember thinking to myself, like, what would I do every night? You know, I'd go to bed like at 9. And then I just sit in my room for 3 hours all alone. Like, how did I do that? Well, I wrote a lot.
Yeah.
And I also danced in front of a mirror to Broadway tunes. I did that a lot too. So sometimes, you know, you take advantage of, I haven't done that as an adult yet, but, you know,
but you could.
You found you those might. Ways to fill the time, right? When you're used to being alone, you find ways to fill it. And then you're used to having a partner and you just get a little bit lazy about your aloneness.
Right. Or you default to like, because there's things we do when we have 5 minutes to ourselves, which likely is more of that kind of mindless social media use. But when given like 2 hours in an evening to yourself, it is sometimes harder to know what to do. I watch Call the Midwife in my bed with a glass of wine religiously when Brian's out of town. That is my only activity. And I very much enjoy it.
About
watching a show in my bed, in my pajamas with my glass of wine.
Oh no, I know that can feel very glamorous.
Yes.
I had a little problem with that when it was me, when John was traveling. I guess this was when we were living in Chicago and Claire was a little baby and he was still working out of town a lot. And I would watch The Golden Girls, which I love.
Yeah.
The problem is, you know, there's, I don't know, like 9 seasons or something. And whatever channel, I think it was TV Land at the time, would do all night long marathons.
Right.
And so sometimes I'd be laying in bed at like 4 a.m. with my eyes like propped open, or you hit that second wind where then you can't sleep. So there is a little bit of danger there.
Well, yeah. And that actually brings up another thing I want to bring up, which is your own healthy routines, whatever that means to you. So it is easy to stay up too late if you're reading something good or watching something. It's also, I like to get up before my kids in the morning, but that's harder when he's gone because he gets up to go to the gym and he's like my second alarm clock, you know?
Yeah.
But like this last long trip, I got up every day before the kids, even if it was like 20 or 30 minutes, and it makes a huge difference. I mean, if the gym is part of your routine or if yoga at home is part of your routine, like whatever those things are, same thing we've been talking about. It's easy to kind of feel like the day doesn't count. I love that you said it that way, or that you can let things go. But in fact, like staying as much as you can with those healthy routines, I think just, it just preserves your energy and your sanity for, you know, being the solo parent.
Yeah. I think sometimes as well, like having that one other person that you really rely on who's in the same boat. So, when I was, you know, the year that I was here pregnant with those little kids, what made it tolerable was that Jenna's had maternity leave that year. So she had a baby, Ruby, it was a little baby then. And my brother was also working out of town. So she and I basically were together. She was like my wife. Like we were together all the time. And like every single day we would have dinner most nights. And it was just kind of a regular thing. And I think, you know, whether you have that other friend whose spouse travels or a single mom friend or somebody who just gets it and who's available. Yep. That's, you know, the availability part is big.
I'm so glad you brought that up because sharing weeknight dinners, I have a good friend here whose husband's a firefighter. So he just has a weird schedule. It's not necessarily travel, but it's like 2 days on, 4 days off. And when he is working, he's overnight at the fire station. And we like get so excited when our husband's travel schedules match up.
Yeah.
And it's actually really fun to do weeknight dinners, like something really easy with and combine all the kids and still everybody go home for homework and stuff. It doesn't have to be a big thing. But sometimes you have to like actually, like you said, they need to be available and you actually have to like ask and coordinate a little. But it does. Yeah. It's like such a soul. It feeds your soul.
It does. Well, it feels like you've got someone, like you're in it with somebody. Yeah. And that is a nice, nice feeling. And it uses up hours too, which, you know, that
those
counts.
Hours from like after school to bedtime, man.
Yeah. And it depending on how much time, like depending on how much you can get your schedules to sync. Like I remember Jen and I used to do a thing where, so the big boys, they were the only bigger kids. Her kids were all really little. And so I had two big one, two small and a baby. So we would have, the bigger boys would bring their homework. They could do it at some point when they got a little older, they could just walk home at some point. If they didn't want to be with us anymore. But the little kids, we would just hang. We'd have dinner. I'd help her with the dishes. For some reason, we were usually at her house. I don't remember why. And then we would do the kids' baths, like all together, bring their PJs, put them in their PJs. And then I would go home. I know, sister wives. And I would go home with pajamaed, clean kids. And just, in fact, sometimes Owen, I remember, would fall asleep. And then Clara, when she was born, would just fall asleep on the way home. And so it's like I got home with a sleeping kid clean in his pajamas. I mean, it just was awesome. And they were like, oh, my gosh, my work here is done, you know.
Yeah.
So it's so nice to be able to share that kind of thing. And I think if I had to name the one thing that really got me through, it was that for sure.
I agree. And both in Arizona and also here, I've had friends, same thing, where we can match up those weeknights. And so I do want to move on to kind of some ways to help kids cope when there's a missing parent. Carol on our Facebook page had a great point and I'd forgotten about it. So thank you, Carol, which is that she said her kids sometimes change behavior or deal with some separation when dad is gone. So she always lets the teachers know. And I do that too for longer trips, especially with Reed, my kindergartner. And it's not like he goes crazy or acts out, but he's a little sad, especially if we have a longer trip, it's often like Monday through Friday. So we've like had a good weekend and then it's like, like off for 5 days. So letting teachers know that there's been a change at home, I think is a really good tip, especially if you have kids who are sensitive to that change. Mm-hmm. The other one I wanted to bring up that I know you and I have talked about this is, do you like have time on the phone with dad, FaceTime or not? I'm like more in the camp of it's almost always harder and more stressful to have daddy calling or FaceTiming in the middle of everything.
Yes.
And it's hard for them to, they're not very good at talking on the phone yet. Maybe when my kids are a little older and they actually will like sit there and tell them about their day or something. But I mean, I'd almost rather have no contact for 2 or 3 days, you know, text him the updates and have my own conversations with him if I can, but not have him call home. It can be kind of stressful or disruptive. What's your experience?
Yeah, mine has been very similar. I would say if it's a longer trip, sometimes the kids just want to have us. And it's so funny because, you know, sometimes they'll be like, oh, where's dad? And sometimes they don't even, you know, it's like 2 days in and they just notice that dad's gone. And I'll say, oh, he's in Chicago or, you know, he's gone or whatever. And then they'll be like, well, I need his help with XYZ or something. I need to talk to him. And then it turns out it's totally something that could wait. It is not an emergency. It, you know, that kind of stuff. No, we don't do just like the obligatory calls. I agree. I think it can be really disruptive. And The kids don't really know what to do with it, I find.
No, I agree.
It doesn't really seem like they understand, like, especially really little ones. Like, they don't really get it. It's not really fun for them.
Right.
Now that the kids are bigger and three of them have their own phones, they text when they want to. And that's kind of fun. Like, it's fun to just for them to be able to manage it and I don't have to manage it. Right. And that's nice. But no, as a rule, as long, unless we're talking, like, if he was gone for 2-3 weeks at a time, I'd probably do it differently.
Yeah.
But for a 2-3-4 day, every now and then thing, no.
Yeah.
We just don't. It kind of goes through me. And if the kids have a question or a concern, that's not to say I'd never have them talk to him.
Right. Right.
But
expecting it to be a meaningful way to stay connected might lead you to disappointment, especially if your kids are little.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk about this more next week. But I found for me, especially, because I think it also kind of depends on who is the emotional center parent. And sometimes it's both and sometimes it's one or the other. Mm-hmm. And in my house, I'm definitely like the emotional center, I guess. It's the only way I can put it. Like, I'm the one a kid would come to if they were crying or upset or hurt. I mean, I'm just more I'm more emotive in that way.
Right.
So those needs are all going to get met for me when I'm here. But when I'm gone, that's something a little more tricky we've had to kind of deal with. And we could talk about that in the next episode.
Right.
My basic thing is still the same, though. I don't just – even when I'm on vacation or I'm traveling for work or whatever, I don't call home just for the sake of calling home.
Right.
If a kid's having an issue, then I will talk to them. But for the most part, I find it a little more disruptive when I call and talk to a kid who didn't realize they missed me until I got on the phone.
Right.
You know?
We are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but you know, sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high-quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off.
Sarah, we're welcoming our sponsor, Element. That's spelled L-M-N-T, a zero-sugar electrolyte drink that leans on current science about what our bodies really need in order to deliver the most effective hydration possible. You know, Sarah, Eric is really into keeping up with health research, and he's been insisting to me for years that we actually need more salt to stay hydrated. Turns out Element agrees because they've developed their product based on a growing body of research that shows that for optimal health outcomes, we actually need to be taking in sodium levels at 2 to 3 times government recommendations. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it really is, Megan. And, you know, electrolyte deficiency or imbalances can cause headaches, cramps, fatigue, brain fog, and weakness. I know I can feel really rotten when I'm dehydrated. And also, I don't love the taste of plain water, so I'm not that great about drinking it. Element makes a huge difference in how much I'm enjoying my hydration and in how I feel, and it's super easy to fit it into my daily routine. My favorite flavor of Element is the grapefruit, but if that's not for you, we're going to get you set up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite Element flavor. Plus, Element has a no-questions-asked refund policy. You don't even have to send the product back to get your refund.
Yeah, you can receive a free Element sample pack containing 1 packet of 8 flavors. So you'll get 8 total packets free with any order when you purchase through our custom URL. That's drinkelement.com/momhour, DRINKLMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership, and it's available for both new and returning customers. To get that offer, again, go to drinkelement.com/momhour.
Well, and if you've ever been like, if you think of like the dynamics of the conversation, it's one person trying to talk or be passed around to like a million. It's a very chaotic, sort of like non-productive way to have a real conversation. One way that we've made it work is sometimes we call him from the car, like on the way or the way home from school. And if he doesn't pick up because my phone comes through like the speakers, like Bluetooth, yeah, they can all like shout and we can leave a voicemail. Or if he does pick up, everybody can hear at the same time and they're all buckled in so they can't like take the FaceTime and go running down the hall. So that's one right. that works for us. Sometimes we'll do that as we'll try him from the car. But otherwise, we don't expect it as like a cornerstone of our day,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I have to ask you this, Sarah. Do you ever, are there anything that you bend rules on when Brian's out of town? And one yes. thing that I'm thinking of in particular for me is kids sleeping in my bed. That is like
okay,
one
I'm,
thing.
I'm so glad that you brought this up because okay. I loved – so Stephanie, who was at our Beyond retreat, I'm pretty sure it was that Stephanie – left a comment that she lets her three kids take turns sleeping in dad's place in the bed when he's gone overnight, which I thought was so cute. And that they look forward to that as like a fun tradition. I still like my bed to myself, mostly because that's where I like to watch TV after they're all gone. But what I do, so my kids don't watch any, they don't have any screen time during the school week, like no iPad and no TV, just too hard for me to manage at this point. But I started like a year ago, maybe, I just needed that like 30 minutes when I'm getting them ready for bed. And, I started letting them watch old episodes of Mr. Rogers, which you can get on Amazon Prime. And I picked Mr. Rogers because I didn't really want them watching some like crappy show that gets them all jazzed up. That's not like, that's part of the reason.
Mr. Rogers.
So I was like, yeah, exactly. So I said, if I pick Mr. Rogers, which is so mellow and slow, and that way, if they're not interested in it, they can go play independently because I'm getting everybody's pajamas, but they love it. And so that's like, and it's only when it's overnight. It's not if he's working late or has a meeting or something. It's only if he's actually gone overnight. And we totally look forward to it. And so that's my like bending the rules on screen time. And just like we were talking about at the beginning with like fast food and sticking to healthy routines, I think with bending the rules, I think it can be really fun if it's something that makes you feel good and that everybody looks forward to. If you just abandon all the rules, right, I think it can work against you. Like we were talking about with food and stuff. So
I agree. Like I look at it almost like bending the rules, but in a really like premeditated way.
Totally.
So
that's exactly how I look at it. Yeah.
I will think about it ahead of time and think, okay, so this is going to be like a 3-night trip or whatever. Right. Yes. In that case, Clara can spend one night with me and then the other 2 nights she's back in her own bed.
Right.
You know, sometimes I also will weigh it against, you know, honestly, my mornings are easier when Clara's in my bed because I can get her up gradually and it's not that like fight with her and getting her out of her cold. She's always cold in the morning and like, oh, I'm so cold. The house is so cold. And so when she's in with me, it's kind of like a little treat for me because I know in the morning I can kind of just like tickle her a little bit and wake her up and it's just a much more pleasant morning.
Yeah.
But I can't just let everything fall off off the rails.
Right.
Because if I let her sleep in my bed all 3 nights, then she'd want to sleep in my bed. You know, then she'd be bummed about the fact that now she has to get kicked back out.
Right.
I would never get a night to my sleep or myself, you know, the bed to myself. So I will think about it ahead of time before anyone even brings it up, because someone's going to bring it up. You know, can we do this or that?
Yeah.
I'll think about what I might be willing to bend on and how that would look and then kind of incorporate it in. But in a way that makes it seem spontaneous and like I'm just the best mom ever, but in a way I already figured out
that's so smart. And I totally think of it that way too. And isn't it funny how they do start asking? Allegra, so, and she's like the oldest, so she gets it. So she'll start asking, can we go to the beach? Can we do this? Like they start knowing like, okay, things are different. So you do need to be one step ahead. But planning where you can allow for those and then just let them know, like, this is what we're going to do. You get a show every night that he's out of town overnight, and that's all you get. Don't ask me for unlimited iPad.
Right.
You know, this is, but then they look forward to it. And I love that. Yeah. That one of our listeners talked about letting kids in the bed too.
Yeah.
Several people brought up planning fun outings, even if it's the middle of winter or summer in Phoenix. And I think that's so true. Like, even if it's something you might do when dad wasn't out of town, just having it on the calendar, the kids looking forward to it. So I'll do the beach here or like the museums or just that kind of thing. And I also think that getting out of the house in the afternoon or after school time, we're normally kind of homebodies, but I think getting out, and I heard several listeners say this in the comments too, really helps because it just breaks up that,
it does break,
like,
that
long march to bedtime.
Yes.
So that was like definitely a consensus, is plan some fun things. And then I would add to that, let the kids know when they are and when to look forward to them so that you're not like, what are we doing today? Like, when can we do something fun? That's what my kids say.
And sometimes even if it's a thing that's totally not fun for you, you know, going to the playland or whatever it is that sounds kind of like torture for you, I remember like having that moment of being like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to load everyone up in the car. And here we don't have a Chuck E. Cheese. Claire's never been to a Chuck E. Cheese. Actually, I take that back. Jacob took her to a Chuck E. Cheese last year while I was at a work meeting, but I've never taken her to one. I paid him to take her.
We're deprived. We're deprived.
I know. She's actually really bummed about it. She's never been to a Toys R Us either. Those are the things that happen when you live.
I don't think she's missing much.
No. She believes she's missing a lot. But anyway, so here in our town, it's Dairy Queen. Our Dairy Queen has this bizarre playroom with like this giant ice cream stuff in it that you can play on. And I'd be sitting there and it'd be, you know, a cold day in February. And I'd be thinking, ugh, I am going to bundle all these kids up, waddle my pregnant body out to the car. And we're going to go sit at Dairy Queen. For goodness sakes. Like what? But I was always so glad when I did it. You know, it's like that feeling when you get home and you know they all ran and played did something fun for them and they're not going to, you know, scream and climb all over you. And you had to change the scenery, even if it's dumb scenery.
Right.
You know, even if it's the worst, even if all I did was sit there and play on my phone because they were occupied. It just felt like a break and a little breath of fresh air. So, yes, I totally agree with the reader and listener who submitted that. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Do something.
Just like you said, premeditatively. I think when you do those things because everybody's at the end of their rope and you have to get out of the house, it feels a little like less like you had something to do with the decision.
Yes, it feels
like,
more desperate.
Fine, I'll take you out and do something fun. But if you kind of look at the calendar and say, okay, I know I'm going to need a break here. Let's plan this. Then you can let the kids know what to expect. So same thing with like just being a step ahead and kind of anticipating those long afternoons and plugging in some fun things, I think really helps. So.
Now, what about like the loneliness aspect? And I will say like I've gotten pretty good at telling John, because John, when he gets in his zone, he's very single-minded. Sometimes he'll work pretty late on the night he's gone, and then, you know, he gets in his home in his hotel bed, turns on SportsCenter, and passes out. And so I finally had to say, you know, I really need like some time to just like text with you for a little while. If you could just give me 15 minutes to text with you or talk on the phone.
Yeah,
but I had to ask for that.
Yeah, you know, I've had to too, but for a different reason. I'm usually so tired that, you know me, I can crash. But a couple of times he will go, he's traveled to Vegas sometimes. And not like he goes out crazy, but like a couple of times I knew he was out either entertaining people or seeing a show or something. And like I woke up in the morning and was like, I don't want to worry, but like I didn't even get the text like, I'm back in the hotel, had a good night. Like, I don't know, like my mind starts to be
promised the stripper stayed at the
gutter
club.
Somewhere. Yeah. Like, so I did have to ask, but mine was more for like my peace of mind. Yeah. Like, or if I know he's driving late somewhere, like driving from one place to another, just like let me know that you're in the place where you're going to sleep like for the night. And Brian's really good because he ends up in airports, like stuck in airports a lot, like at weird times. And so that's when we are more likely to have our like a text conversation. Might not be at the end of the night because he might be out later than I am or whatever. But I have asked for the, like, let me know that you're alive once every 12 hours.
Let me ask you this, Sarah. How do you handle things that, you know, I know you're still kind of in the stage where you're doing grocery shopping with at least some kids.
Yeah, usually just me
most
and
Violet. Most of the time anyway. So that's not a big change. But is there anything that you regularly would not do with the kids if Brian was around that you're sort of forced to do or either do it with the kids or not do it at all?
Well, I would say, honestly, and this might not even be what you're asking, but just the evenings of like dividing myself into thirds when everybody needs me is still hard. Like Allegra has homework. Reed is like pretty one-on-one demanding. Like he wants to play Pokemon or he really wants his dad is what he wants.
Yeah.
And then Violet is just high maintenance. So I wouldn't say there's any one thing that I would avoid doing, but it does still feel like I'm missing like another warm body in the evenings.
Yeah.
So that again just goes back to like staying busy, getting together with other people, because that is still hard for me. And I know that'll get easier. I mean, everyone will kind of get a little bit more independent, but
yeah. Have you done any crazy workarounds, you know, when you had to work and you know, Violet was a baby still or whatever, and you're trying to figure that. I remember working from my car. I remember working on the hood of my car once. Like I had sleeping kids all lined up in the car and I was literally had my laptop out in the hood of my car and was working. I mean, so, like going places to find free Wi-Fi, but you don't have to go in.
Yeah, that's awesome. In the parking lot.
In parking lots,
I remember when Violet was a little baby, the hardest part, and this just jogged my memory, was that I wasn't sleeping at night and I didn't have my... Like, she was a terrible sleeper until she was, like, two. Yeah. And so I didn't have, like, that person. And I still did most of the night waking. But, you know, you always have them to, like, shove out the bed for, like, the 4 a.m. if you've been up three times already. So I was doing all that by myself at night and then having to wake up and do it all over again.
Right.
Just by myself. That was really hard. And yeah, I just think we just did a lot more like car rides and drive-throughs. And back in those days, I feel like I got more work done when he was away because I'd put the kids to bed early and I'd work at night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't have like you had a little more, I think, conference calls and meetings and deadlines, whereas I was luckily just a little bit more freelancy, able to manage it. But
yeah,
it's not easy. If you guys are in that right now, it is not easy.
It's not. But you know what? You will make it.
Yes.
You will make it. So like, is there anything else we missed?
Only thing that I wanted to touch on, because another listener brought it up, Lindsay, is transition time. And I had written about a note about this too, which is really know what you need when your partner comes home for you personally. And also don't forget that your kids are going to have a transition and it's not always a happy, joyous transition.
Right.
I know for myself that I have been on for so long that I usually need, like, I'm a little bit more of an introvert. I just need like personal space, and that can be hurtful to a partner who's excited to see you. And it also can make you feel guilty if you're like, well, now we're the band's back together. We should go do something as a family, when really I want to go like stare at my phone in a corner for an hour and have no one talk to me. So now I know that about myself, and Brian knows that about me, and I can just escape for an hour and then come back. But also with the kids, I think sometimes the kids hold it together, and then behavior can be off when the band is back together. And I'm sure you probably noticed that back in the day too.
Yeah. And I was actually going to say, we've come up with different workarounds for that kind of thing. I know, you know, I remember that feeling of knowing he's on his way home and I'm counting down the minutes and just wanting him to walk through the door so I can hand the baby off or whatever. But we actually kind of found it was better for him to come home after bedtime.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because otherwise everything would just fall apart.
Yeah.
So I would feel like that momentary relief and like, oh my God, you're home. Oh, take this kid. I've been saving this diaper for you, like that kind of thing. And there was that momentary good feeling of like, oh, I'm not alone now. We're in this together again.
Right.
But then that's when everybody would flip out. And then I would get stressed out. I mean, and he would be stressed out. And I think, you know, I think it's so individual. It depends how much they travel, for one thing. If it's, you know, if those 3 hours or 2 hours or 1 hour or whatever is going to make a huge difference in your sanity level or whatever, then have him get home as soon as he can. But if putting the flight off a little later means he's going to walk into a quiet house and you're going to be sitting in a quiet house and you can just sit down together and watch your favorite program, and then you both wake up in the morning refreshed and then
kind of
tackle the day together. I think sometimes ultimately that's better, even though it's so hard to put that off. And I've noticed that for myself. You know, sometimes I'm bummed out when I'm coming home. We could talk about this more next episode.
Yeah.
I'll have a flight that gets home late and I'm like, oh man, I can't, why did I schedule this flight so late? I won't get home until 10. And I'll tell you what, when I walk into a quiet house at 10 rather than a crazy house at 8, I'm so glad I walked in at 10. I mean, it feels a little selfish, but I think overall, sometimes it's just good for everybody.
Yeah, that's a great point. And just remembering that everybody is adjusting. Sometimes like the ship has been, you've had to like hold a pretty tight ship because it's just you. And then like the wheels fall off. That was like a terrible mixed metaphor.
I got the ship.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And especially with really little kids and sensitive kids, the behavior, I mean, they could have been on their best behavior all week and then lose it in the day or two following dad getting home. So I think just even knowing that, I mean, there's not much to do about it, except I like your suggestions about the timing, but other than that, just expect.
Well, I can, and just like you, Sarah, we've talked about this before. And the reason I think that I kind of finally realized this was that, I can deal with challenging kid behavior much better at 8 a.m. than I can at 8 p.m. And so, or whatever time your kids, you know, that moment right before they go to bed. And so every time John would walk in the door half an hour before bedtime, bedtime did not happen half an hour later.
Right.
And so it would just throw everything off. So
and then
so
you're
badly.
Super bitter because you want nothing more than
So just a thought. Just a thought, you know. I know it's hard to even imagine.
I feel like most of Brian's longer trips, he ends up getting home like mid afternoon, which is a big treat because it's earlier than he'd get home, like say on a normal work day.
That is nice.
So that can be nice. I'm trying to
think.
And
then those are the nights I try to plan like a dinner. We all go eat out together or something. Yeah. You know, just that reconnection time without anyone having to do a lot of work or put a lot of effort in, I think is really nice.
So. Agreed. And if you are also a person who needs time to yourself, don't feel bad about asking for me. I'm really glad you're home. I can't wait to reconnect. But please don't talk to me for an hour. Yep. You know, like just that you need and like your own.
Turns out I have to go to Target. I forgot. Yeah,
exactly. Enjoy.
You know, it's so funny in our house, that's totally John. And I used to wonder why he ran so many useless errands.
Yeah.
And he'd come home with nothing. Like, where did you go? You didn't even buy anything.
He just needed to think his own thoughts.
He just needed to go into his head for a little while and not have me yakking at him. So I get it. I don't understand it, but I get it, you know? So I guess we need to wrap this one up, huh?
Yeah, definitely. So again, check us out on Facebook and Instagram. And thank you. If I didn't like directly mention your feedback or comment, thank you for leaving it because it really helped us kind of clarify what we wanted to talk about today. And I'm excited to revisit this next week, but talk about when mom's the one leaving.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. All of this will be at themomhour.com. This was episode 36.
Yep. All right. That's See you good. Next week.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Megan here. Sarah and I would absolutely love it if you would hit pause right now, like right where you're listening, and leave the Mom Hour a rating and review. If our show has helped you feel a little more confident as a mom or a little less alone, this is one of the biggest ways you can thank us, and it really only takes about 30 seconds. If you're listening to Apple Podcasts, you can navigate to the Mom Hour's show listing. So when you're in the episode you're listening to right now, click where it says the Mom Hour just above the play button, and then scroll all the way to the bottom and you will see the ratings and reviews. We would love if you would leave us one as well. Thank you so much for listening. Sarah, I started a Substack last spring, just kind of as an experiment, and it turns out I love it. I'm treating it kind of like an old school blog, writing about things that are happening in my life.
Megan, I've loved following your stuff on Substack, and I actually just really like Substack in general.
You know, we've both been a lot less active on Instagram lately, and I'm finding that Substack scratches that itch to connect and create without all the busyness of a typical social media feed. So I would love it if Mom Hour listeners wanted to look me up there. I'm at meganfrancis.substack.com, and that's Megan with two A's, meaganfrancis.substack.com.